Thank you so much for joining us for Worship and Word at Three Trees Church Online. We are so glad to have you with us. Please take a moment to share this content on your social media pages so that your extended family and friends may be blessed by this powerful message and our time together. I also want to encourage you to please stay connected with us at threetrees.com and on our social media pages. And as always, I want to remind you, you are in the right place at the right time.
I want you to grab your Bible, join me in the book of 1 Corinthians. I want you to look with me at chapter number 2, and we're going to take a look at verses 9 through 13 and then also verse 16. I'll be reading from the ESV translation. One of the things that we're doing last Sunday and this Sunday is making you aware that it is small group season. And if you'd like to sign up for a small group, you can go to threetrees.com/groups. Whether you're church online, whether you're here in the auditorium, you can join us in small groups. And we have different options. We have in-person options. We have some Zoom call options. And you can find all that at threetrees.com/groups. We also have people that have really expressed, man, I want to take my discipleship efforts in following Jesus to the next level. And one of the ways that that is happening is through watch parties on Wednesday nights. Watch parties on Wednesday nights. At 6:30 p.m. Central, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, you can tune in to either Facebook or YouTube, and we're offering a discipleship moment there. We've got worship. I'm delivering an in-depth teaching. We're going to be looking at the book of 1 Corinthians. We did that last Wednesday in chapter 1. This coming Wednesday, we're going to look at chapter 2. And even some of the things I want to share with you today, we'll even take a different vein and even go deeper into the entire text this coming Wednesday night. And so whether you're a part of a watch party or you'd like to host a watch party, you can communicate that to us. Or if you just choose to watch it by yourself, you can go to ericgilbert.org and you can download discussion guides. You can download fill in the blank message notes. After the fact, you'll be able to go back and download message transcriptions. We want to help you. We want to put every tool that we possibly can in your hands so that you can learn more about what God has to say from His Word for your life. And so those are things we're making available to you. I wish you'd give God a little praise for that too, because it is essential that we get our foundation in the Word of God for such a time as this. So y'all ready for a little bit of Word this morning? All right, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. I'm going to read this and then I'll pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9, excuse me. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. Can I get a witness somewhere? These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Now listen, I know there's a lot of theological language happening here. Don't get lost. We're going to go through it, all right? And one more verse, verse number 16. For who has understood the mind of the Lord that they could give Him instructions? But we are privileged and blessed to have the mind of Christ. We are looking at, amen, we are looking at a series called What in the World? And Paul had spent 18 months with the church in Corinth. He went away and he started to get reports about those people that they had slipped away from really honoring God in their lifestyles. They had slipped into drunkenness. They had slipped into sexual perversion. They had slipped into pride. You name it, they were struggling. And I think Paul got some reports and he was almost just like, what in the world? What in the world? And so he writes this letter to bring some correction to them, but also some encouragement and further teaching to them about how to exemplify the life of Christ. And then by the time we get to chapter 2, he's letting them know that if they're not going to have the world in them, they're going to need the mind of Christ functioning through them. I want to talk to you this morning about trains of thought. Father, I ask you to help me to preach and teach and deliver your word in such a way that every single one of us hear you speaking to us through your word, that God, your Holy Spirit would bring an anointing, a special grace for such a moment as this one. God, do what only you can do in us and through us. Provoke us to take that next step in you, God, whatever it might be, whether it's salvation, rededication, God, a further level of commitment. Provoke us by your Holy Spirit that we would not leave this moment the way that we came. Let it be done, Father, in Jesus' name. And this church said, amen and amen. What I want to do, I noticed when I was reading through those sections of verses, even though it was just a few verses, there are parts of that that you kind of have to spend a little bit of time and meditate on it to really understand what Paul is attempting to communicate to us on behalf of heaven. And I'd like to read it again, but this time I'd like to just kind of pull out the high points and kind of show you the gist, if you will, of what God wants you to get out of this particular passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9, "But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man has imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him." Watch this. "These things God has revealed to us through the Holy Spirit." So up to this point, nobody really got it. But as the New Testament church was being birthed, God was beginning to reveal these things that he'd had for his people all along through the Holy Spirit. Verse 10, or verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world." That's important. "We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things that are freely given to us by God." It's important that you understand the world has a spirit. And that spirit is sent from hell to steal, kill, and to destroy. And the number one thing the spirit of the world wants to do is to separate you from the spirit of God. And Paul is trying to draw a very clear line in the sand here so that people don't miss. There are things that God has for you that are beyond your wildest expectations and even your wildest imaginations. But at some point, you're going to have to realize that you can't get it while functioning under the bondage of the spirit of the world. And so what goes on, verse number 13, Paul says, "So we impart this in words that are not taught through human wisdom, but they are taught by the Spirit of God." And he goes on and basically summarizes to say, because we have the mind of Christ. Because we have the mind of Christ. Now, one of the things you need to understand about people in the days in which that this letter was written, especially a scholar such as Paul. So Paul was well-versed in Judaism. He understood the Jewish culture and the Jewish theology in a way that few people on the planet at his time would have. In fact, he was dramatically converted into his relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul would have been, as a result of his scholarly pursuit of the Word of God in the earth, have been able to quote the entire Old Testament at the time of his writing to the Corinthian church. He could have quoted by memory the entire Old Testament. And so when you're reading the letters of Paul, which make up 2/3 of the books of the New Testament, it's important to know that so many times, like, he's revealing something to you out of the Old Testament. To us, it's just like another statement. But if you look closely, if you really dive into it, you realize he's quoting an Old Testament prophet or a section of Old Testament law and trying to show us something about Jesus that was hidden in the Old Testament that is being revealed in the New Testament. See, that's the whole Bible is about Jesus. It is either pointing to him or pointing back to him. The Old Testament is pointing to the cross, and the New Testament is pointing back to the cross. It's about Jesus, it's all about Jesus, and it will always be about Jesus. That's the Bible. In fact, you know, when the Bible talks about the fact that you should rightly divide Scripture, I believe that that means something more than just putting a line between the Old Testament and the New Testament. I believe to rightly divide Scripture, you got to get a revelation of the cross because it sits right in the center of it, and it divides everything. And what you'll learn is when you read the Old Testament, Jesus is concealed. But when you read the New Testament, Jesus is revealed. There were people who were walking with Jesus on the road to Emmaus after he resurrected. And they were mind blown at the things he was saying to them. And here's the scripture, here's the statement that they used. They said, "Isn't it amazing how our hearts burned within us when he opened the scriptures to us?" In other words, they knew the old stuff, but they hadn't got the revelation of Jesus' cross just yet. And Jesus opened it up for them. And so that's part of what Paul is doing here. He's opening something up for his listeners. Here's the thing he mentions. He says, eye hasn't seen it, ear hasn't heard it, neither has it entered into the heart of man. Now that's one of those good verses. That's one of those you like post on your vanity mirror. Like you put that one somewhere in your vehicle so you can see it every day. But did you know that Paul was actually quoting an Old Testament verse there? He is actually quoting the prophet Isaiah, and that scripture was originally recorded in Isaiah chapter 64. And you probably should spend some time reading Isaiah chapter 64 if you are inspired by that particular verse. Because what it shows us is that the prophet Isaiah is talking to a group of people who have backslidden in their hearts. He's talking to a group of people who have become increasingly worldly in regards to their relationship with the Lord. And he looks out and he says to them, God's got stuff for you that you haven't even thought about yet. And you're missing it because of the worldliness that's in your life. That's basically what he says to them, if I might paraphrase. And he goes on and he says, and one of the reasons that you're really missing it is because you don't understand that you should repent over the sinfulness that's come into your life. And he's telling them, you're missing out, not just because you've let worldliness in, but even more so because you're not repentant. And he basically says, we could have all of this and we're missing it because God can't show up where repentance doesn't exist. That's what Isaiah is saying in Isaiah chapter 64. Now, Paul comes on the scene. He quotes that verse in the same breath that he's talking about an issue with the spirit of worldliness coming into the church. Isn't it something to think that God's people, Old Testament, New Testament, and here today, have always struggled with the spirit of worldliness? And even sometimes, as much as we want to live right and as much as we desire to put God first, it is just so easy to be led away from the things that God has for us. Because the last thing the enemy wants you to do is to get all God's got for you and more too. So the enemy is going to fight that with everything that he possibly can. And so what Paul is trying to say is, listen, you need to get a revelation from the Holy Spirit of what God's really got for you. And what he goes on to say is the only way that that can ever really happen is you're going to have to let the Holy Spirit go to work on the inside of your life and give you the mind of Christ. In other words, you're going to have to start thinking like Jesus would think. Now let me show you how why it's important to think like Jesus thinks. There's a passage of text in the book of Luke chapter 4. Jesus is on earth. In fact, he's getting ready to really take his earthly ministry into the next level. And Jesus, the Bible says, is led by the Holy Spirit out into a wilderness environment. And so Jesus is in this wilderness environment and he's just trying to spend time with his Father and he's engaging heaven in earth. And then the devil shows up. Well, ain't that the way it works? Like some of you, like the more you try to serve God, it's like, man, the more I fight the devil, that's how it's always going to be. The enemy does not want you to have more of God in your life. And so the enemy starts like trying to mess with Jesus' head. And as he's trying to pull Jesus away from the will of the Heavenly Father for his life, and the way that he chooses to do it is with temptation. You realize that's what the spirit of the world is always going to mess with you about, is temptation. James chapter number 1 verse 14 says, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Each person is tempted. Every single one of us are going to wrestle with temptation. And so the enemy is going to constantly be trying to pull us away from heaven and towards the world. He's going to constantly be trying to pull us away from the Holy Spirit and towards the spirit of the world. And the way he's going to do it is with temptation. But what we learn from Jesus is how Jesus thinks when he's approaching temptation. I'm going to say that again. What we learn from Jesus, we're talking about the mind of Christ. Anybody want what eye hadn't seen, ear hasn't heard, heart hadn't comprehended? Does like anybody want that? Like you want more of God than is even what you could fat. If you want that, then you need the mind of Christ. And the only way you can really yield to the mind of Christ, you got to realize how Jesus approached temptation, how he approached an attack from the spirit of the world. So he's in this moment alone with the Father. He's being prayerful. He's fasting. He's trying to, you know, just do everything right. And here comes the devil. And there's this passage that you cannot miss. It's Luke chapter 4, verse 5. And the devil took Jesus up, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Everybody say, in a moment of time. Come on, say it again. In a moment of time. So it's important. Jesus is taken up, and the devil shows him everything, all the kingdoms of the world. And he says to him, bow and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. You realize that the devil owned them because he took them from Adam. And what was happening is he's taking the keys of dominion. And he's saying, Jesus, if you'll bow, I'll let you have it. You know what he was trying to do? He was trying to stop the cross from happening. Because the enemy knew if the cross came, he is going to lose more than the kings of this world. He's going to wind up in a lake of fire for 10,000 upon 10,000 years. He's trying to divert the whole process. He's like, just back. Like, you won't have to do the cross. I'll go ahead and give you the world, man. Just don't. Let's stop this thing now. And the enemy will always show you an easier path. And he'll do it in a moment of time. And he'll show you everything that the world has to offer, and it'll be like everything just comes in a split second, and it happens to you every single time you log on to social media. You step into a high place above your phone or your laptop, and you see the kingdoms of the world. And you see what this one has got, and you don't. And you see how many followers this one has, and you don't. And you see how that this one just seems to be living their life so promiscuously and so eloquently, and it just seems to look so good in the feed. In a moment of time, you see everything that you can have if you will just yield to the spirit of the world. Jesus looked over at the devil, and he said, man, will should only worship the Lord thy God. Shall only worship the Lord thy God. And in a moment of time, the whole thing flipped. The enemy wasn't done tempting Jesus. I pointed this out to you last week. I'll point it out again this week. While he was there in that wilderness environment, the enemy not only tried to give him the kingdoms of the world, he tried to get him to throw himself down from a mountain and see if God would save him. And the enemy, Jesus let the enemy know, that's not how this thing works. Nobody shall tempt the Lord thy God. And then the enemy tries to get him, he's fasting, so the enemy tries to get him to turn a rock into bread just to see how much power he's got. He's like, listen, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Do you realize what happened every single time that the enemy tried to tempt Jesus? Jesus responded with the word of God. The mind of Christ responds to temptation with the word of God. And you have to realize there are going to be moments where that the enemy in a moment of time will try to persuade you to make a decision that bows your knee in compromise, that bows to worldliness, that bows to something other than God's best for you. But there is a destination that you've got, and it is a thing that eye hasn't seen and ear hasn't heard, and neither has it entered the heart of man. And maybe nobody in your family tree has ever seen it, and maybe nobody in the generations before you in your family lineage have ever seen it, and maybe nobody in your community has ever seen it before. Nobody in your cul-de-sac, nobody in your dorm room, nobody in your locker room has ever seen it before. But you are scheduled for a destination that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. Don't let the enemy derail you. Don't let the enemy derail you. Like, that is exactly what happened to the Hebrew people. Isaiah told them, he's like, y'all are derailed. This is a train wreck. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. He's like, you guys are getting derailed, man. This is a train wreck. God's got a destination for you and you're missing it because you won't let him give you the mind of Christ. Why is it so important that you read the word every single day? Because you're going to need it to keep from getting derailed. Why is it so hard for you to read the word every day? Because the enemy knows it will keep you from getting derailed. So he derails you even okay. Like I feel an encouragement to somebody this morning. You need to understand what the enemy is up to in your life. And the reason he's tempting you with that relationship is because he wants to derail you. The reason he's tempting you with the cheating and the opportunity to embezzle is because he wants to derail you. The reason that he's tempting you with somebody that isn't your spouse that keeps showing up in your DMs is because he wants to derail you. Okay, he got really quiet. I didn't mean it mean. I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to remind you, man, there's something else going on here. And you cannot let the enemy settle for making you another example of a train wreck. You realize that's how thoughts work, right? You have trains of thought. You have trains of thought. And every thought that you have is taking you somewhere. And if you aren't cautious about how that you think about those moments of temptation, you are going to board the wrong train. Look at somebody and tell them, board the right train. Board the right train. Board the right train. The enemy showed up to Jesus. He's like, hey, man, I got a train ride for you, baby. You can have all the kingdoms of the world. It'll be the scenic route. Get on this train with me. All you got to do is worship the spirit of the world. And Jesus is like, that's not my destination. I don't want anything to do with those tracks. Isn't it amazing how the enemy can just put something in your head? And if you don't deal with that thought appropriately, you're on a train ride that'll interrupt your sleep, interrupt your peace, interrupt your purity. Trains of thought. Here's the thing. One of the great theologians of the past century made this statement. He said, if you board the wrong train, it is no use running along the corridor in the other direction. Do you get that? You're on the train is carrying you somewhere. You can run the other direction as much as you want. And some of us don't realize that we're going to have to make a decision to literally stop the train of thought called temptation. How do I do that? You have to have a relationship with the Word of God. And you have to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit so that he gives you the rebuttal for whatever it is the enemy is trying to show you is better than what you have in God. All of humanity got derailed because of a train of thought. Adam and Eve are in the garden. They have perfection. They have everything that you could possibly want as a human being. They only have one instruction. Don't eat that tree. Guess what the enemy did? Hangs out in that tree. And Eve goes over and she starts having a conversation with the snake. And a train of thought got started in her head. And we don't know for sure, but rabbinical commentary, Hebrew culture teaches that she didn't just go down one day and eat the fruit, but that it was a process. A train got loose in her head. And she starts to think that there's something better in the world than what God has for her. And the next thing you know, man, she partakes. She goes back. She starts talking to Adam. Train gets started in his head. Now he thinks the world's got something. And the next thing you know, Adam and Eve come into unity against God. And we've been trying to fix that ever since. Temptation. Like, where are the trains of your thought taking you? I want to show you, if you want to wind up at the right destination, we're going to have to wind up at a station called transformation. I want you to see this verse, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual worship. So giving our bodies to God, mirroring his holiness, living a lifestyle of consecration and sanctification before God, like that's a form of worship. It tells us that worship is more than a song. Like worship is, it's obedience. It's a lifestyle of obedience. Now look what happens next. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So how do you not give into the spirit of this world? Somebody help me. You got to get renewed in your mind. How do you not give into the spirit of this world? You got to have the mind of Christ. When God is talking to you about having your mind renewed, he's saying, I want to let you think like Jesus. I want to let you walk like Jesus. I want to let you talk like Jesus. You're like, I'll never be able to measure up to that. You're right. But the Holy Spirit can come in you and begin to work through you. And the next thing you know, there's stuff that you were bowing your knees to that now your back is like a T-rail. And you say, I'm done riding that train. I'm done with the train wrecks. I'm not headed to that destination anymore. Lord, there is a scenic route that God has for me, and I plan to get there. And the pictures are going to be amazing. It's going to be greater than any selfie that you can ever filter. It's going to be that moment where that you realize, wait a second, man, serving God is the best decision I ever made, and it's not just something I do on Sunday. It's not just something I do when my small group is looking. It's not, oh, it's not just something I do when I walk in and out of a building on Sunday morning or I tune into church online on Sunday or Wednesday. It's something that I choose as a lifestyle to be all in with. And that when you get your head right, you'll get your heart right. And the reason that a lot of us don't have our heart right is because we don't have our head right. I can't get no help on us. I thank you for the amens in church online and in overflow because I can't get no help up in here. No. Anybody want to board the right train? Yes, sir. Well, let's realize that there are trains of thought. And let's realize if that's the case, we have to board the right train. And once we get on the right train, let's do everything that we can as we submit to the Lord to make sure that we do not get derailed. That we do not get derailed. Y'all ever watch the Westerns? I am so old. Like I open up Amazon Video and the only thing you see is John Wayne. Yeah, I'm old. I could say a few reasons about why I choose John Wayne, but we'll just leave it at that. There's a lot of worldliness and I just... Sometimes it's so hard to just even try to find something to engage your mind for a few moments, you know? And I find myself, though, with those Westerns, there's always a bank robber coming. And he's always going to rob the train. The stagecoach or the train, they're going to get it. Like, if you see somebody get on the train, it's like, come on, dude. Don't ride the train. Am I making sense to anybody? No one has a single Western reference in this Okay, I got three people that are with me. You all will get the revelation. You will go home and you will have the mind of Christ. The bottom line, give away every Western. If they get on the train, look out, robbers coming. Here's the deal. The enemy, if they have anything of value on that train, the enemy is coming to derail it. He is coming to try and steal it and make it his own. If he has to blow out the bridge, if he has to blow out the rails, if he has to drop in through the top and start shooting everybody, the enemy is going to do whatever he can to derail that train. And it is absolutely no different in your life. Because he knows if your mind stays on tracks called renewal, you are headed for a destination called transformation. And then you will not be conformed to this world and he will have lost and he doesn't like losing. So he's coming with Jesse James and anybody else he can find to saddle up with him to try to... Hallelujah. I thought it was too, man. I worked hard on that one all of like 3 minutes. here's the deal. I want to ask them to come to the music and play, hopefully, something that goes along with a Western soundtrack. Corey, I'm kidding. I want you to really think with me for a minute. Like, what kind of train have you boarded? Like, when you're sitting in your dorm room at night, like, where are your thoughts taking you? When you're having that moment, maybe just driving to work, like, where is it that your mind just takes off to? Like, some of you right now, you're really hoping that this train of thought called a message has a caboose and that it's an ending, right? But even when you're trying to engage with the word, like, what, where does all that wind up at? There's this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. It says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. We take every thought captive to obey Christ. Isaiah in the Old Testament, Paul in the New Testament, they're pleading with their audience. Pleading. Hey guys, y'all are missing it, man. You're missing it. Because the spirit of worldliness is winning in your life. And even if you think what you've got is good, like, God's got something that is exceedingly great. He's like, all you gotta do is let the Holy Spirit go to work on the inside of you and impart the mind of Christ. And even in 1 Corinthians, he talked about that impartation comes through the Holy Spirit putting the Word of God in you. The Word of God in you. There's a train of thought that's going to lead you to a destination called transformation. And you ride that train with the Lord. Some of you, the whole time I've been preaching, you've been hearing that old song you grew up with. This train is bound for glory. This train. Everybody ride this train, better be righteous and holy. This train. I say sign me up. Because quite frankly, I'm tired of settling for what the enemy can offer in a moment of time. I'm ready for what eternity has to offer. And that will settle anything that a moment of time can throw our direction.
Hey church, thank you so much for joining us at Three Trees Church Online. We believe that you are in the right place at the right time. I want to encourage you and let you know that Three Trees Church is continuing to find needs and meet needs, and your generosity makes that possible. It helps us to continue to be a life-giving and a need-meeting ministry. There are three ways that you can give. You can give by visiting threetrees.com/give, or you can mail your check to P.O. Box 399, Columbia, Kentucky, 42728, or you can text the word give to the number 270-250-7595. Thank you so much, church, for giving and continuing in your generosity. I want to encourage you to continue to stay connected with us by sharing the content and staying submitted to Christ. And as always, thank you so much for continuing to be faithful in your generosity. God bless you.